Our main purpose of this is for putting money back into our scholarship fund so that we can continue to provide educational opportunities for our members. So November 19th, if you have an item that you would like to donate to the silent auction, we'd like to try to get those out a couple of weeks before, or at least a week before, so that people can take a look at them. And if they wanted to start bidding on some things, so we try to have some tables set up. So in that light, anybody that's on the scholarship committee or wants to help with that, if you can meet with me for about 10 minutes after church, and we can talk about a little bit of it. It shouldn't take much more than 5 minutes. So I'd greatly appreciate that. So again, scholarship appreciates everything that the congregation does for us. So if you have friends and neighbors that want to come and eat well that day, go ahead and join us. So Pastor Anna is on vacation through tomorrow, and she will be back on Tuesday. Monday, the Lutheran Men in Mission will be meeting in the Fellowship Hall on October 28th. The trunk or treat from 5 to 7. Does anybody have any more information on that to share? Okay. Reformation Sunday is next Sunday. It is also Confirmation Sunday, and there will be a reception to follow. Even though it's the fifth Sunday, we're not going to have a potluck or covered dish, but we will have a reception for the confirmands. Silly is hosting the trunk or treat. I saw that in here now. If you're getting your directory pictures made this afternoon, please stay after worship. And Joyce said she'd begin as soon as possible. I know that the folks have been, it's been a little bit ahead of schedule, or at least it was last weekend. So please, if you've got your picture scheduled, please stay afterwards. Good. Okay, so Joyce said if you have not scheduled to have your picture taken or your family's picture taken for the directory, if you will stay afterwards today, she will go ahead and take care of that today. So we want everybody to take part. So if you have not, just see Joyce after the service. Okay. Are there any other announcements for the good of the cause? Okay, so celebrating today, or this week, our birthdays, Scott Curry, Crystal Ferguson, Jim Horn, and Holly Curry, and no anniversaries. Celebrating baptisms this week, Herb Lohr, Debbie Parsons, Cameron Cecil, Kyle Murphy, and Lincoln Murphy. Do we have any other announcements? Okay, so let's pray for these folks to celebrate. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. Please stand as you're able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, raise your throne in our hearts. Created by you, let us live in your image. Created for you, let us act for your glory. Redeemed by you, let us give you what is yours. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Little Miss Maddie's not happy. Sawyer, how are you? All right. Oh my goodness. All right, well, good morning. In a few minutes when we hear the gospel lesson today, it seems that the Pharisees are up to some tricks again. They're trying to fool Jesus, okay? Trying to trick him or trap him into saying something that could get him in trouble. Do you think Jesus knew about that? No. You don't think so? I think Jesus was pretty smart. But those Pharisees, they didn't get the last word. But today's gospel, it talks about, they asked Jesus as to whether one should obey the government or God. And basically, Jesus says, well, have you got a coin? Here's where he's sort of tricking them. He makes them reach into their pocket and pull out a coin. And Sawyer, what's usually on a coin?
A person.
You're exactly right. And those people could be like George Washington. Mm-hmm. Could be a mayor at some point down the line, right? Could even be Neil at some point. What do you think?
No.
You're going to $6 bill. Okay. So, but when they showed that coin, Jesus said, well, who's on the coin? And they said it was the emperor or the king. So Jesus sort of tells them, he said, well, you know, if it's got his picture on it, give it to him. But also give to God what is due to God. So what do you think might be something that we can do to give to God what is due? That's a good one. So where in the world, in our church service, can we give to God if we're talking about money? Turn around and look in the corner. Back in the corner. We might have to stand up.
What corner?
Back this corner, back here. What do you think? Is there something back here that we can use to help with that? Right here. Because we do put money in there, right? Checks, things like that. So why do we do that? To give to God. Exactly right, Sawyer. So one thing that you and Miss Maddie can do as you get a little bit older and you get a job is you can start contributing and helping out. Because that money that we give during the offering not only goes to support things here within our congregation, but also in our community and in the community outside that we can share with the world. But we need to remember that we need to give to God what is God's. Every day. Okay, can we do that? All right. Can you pray with me? All right, let's pray. Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for all of nature that you willingly give to us and help us to remember that it's our job to take care of it. And also to give you your due. Thank you for all you do for us. Amen. All right. Thank you. Y'all have a good week. Now you can go back there to mom. All right. All right. So if you want to go to Children's Church, Miss Kelly is going down there right now.
The first reading for today is from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Sirius, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him, and strip kings of their robes, to open doors before him, and the gates shall not be closed. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches and hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I surname you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other besides me. There is no God. I am you. Through you do not know me, so that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. Word of God, word of life. The psalm for today is Psalm 96 and will be read responsively by whole verse. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord,
bless the name of the Lord. Declare God's glory among the nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. As for all the gods of the nations, they are but idols. But you, O Lord, have made the heavens. Majesty and magnificence are in your presence. Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord the honor due the holy name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The second reading is from Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, to you, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor, of love and steadfastness, of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution you received the word with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. Word of God, word of life.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, since we don't have communion, I told the choir that Pastor Anna told me I could have a 20-minute sermon. All right, so today's gospel is about righteousness. But Jesus evades a trap set for him by talking about two different authorities that we must respond to: the civil authorities and God. In the preface to his commentary on Galatians in 1535, Martin Luther talks about two kinds of righteousness: civil righteousness and spiritual or alien righteousness. For Luther, our civil righteousness was something we worked on and something we were accountable for. Civil righteousness is achieved by how we act in society. But our spiritual righteousness regards our relationship with God, and for Luther, is determined not by our actions, but by God's love in Christ. It's sometimes called alien righteousness because we could no more increase or earn that righteousness than we could live on the moon. In some ways, Jesus is using similar categories to respond to the question posed to him. As we've seen over the last few weeks, as Matthew tells it, this story takes place on the equivalent of Monday of the original Holy Week, the day of Palm Sunday, or day after Palm Sunday, and Jesus and his entourage and the crowds are following him have now been occupying the Jerusalem temple for the better part of 2 days. The authorities have already attempted to lure Jesus into blasphemy, and now some religious leaders have come back for a second attempt, this time bringing some Herodians with them. Now, the Herodians were supporters of Herod Antipas, King Herod's son, and who was also Rome's puppet ruler and a collaborator within the Roman Empire. Pharisees were against the Roman occupation, so they had little in common with the Herodians, except their mutual opposition to Jesus and the trouble that he was stirring up in the people. In the background, here's an ancient prophet, Zechariah, the same visionary whose words were enacted just yesterday, both in the dramatic entrance to the city, "Lo, your king comes to you, humble and riding a donkey," and in the disruptive eviction of the money changers from the temple, "There shall no longer be traitors in the house of the Lord of hosts on that day." The prophet's idea seems to be that the temple's financial dimension, set up to facilitate the buying and selling of temple sacrifices and also to support the temple as an economic enterprise, are part of a layer of separation between God and Israel that will one day be overcome. And on that day, the holiness associated with the temple will pervade the whole world. These prophetic ideas and Jesus' declaration through action that this new era is now begun are still ringing in the crowd's ears on this, the second day of the temple occupation. This passage arrives this year as we are in the United States are in an already unprecedented, polarized, and caustic election season, complete with controversies about taxes, law, religion, governmental authority, bad faith questions meant to trap adversaries, and a host of other connections that we can easily see to this story. And so we may ask, what light does this passage throw on the coming election and on our public lives together? Though they introduce their question with buttery compliments, the religious and civil leaders here, the Pharisees and the Herodians, have a plan in mind. If they can just get Jesus to say that it's lawful to pay taxes to the emperor, then he'll offend the Pharisees and, more importantly, the crowds who fiercely oppose the imperial occupation of Rome. And on the other hand, if they can get him to say that it's unlawful to do so, he'll offend the Herodians, who collude with the Romans, who will no doubt report him to the imperial authorities, and they won't be too amused about it. Either way, Jesus is trapped. Jesus, though, senses their hypocrisy and doesn't answer right away. Instead, he asks them to show him a coin used for the temple tax, a silver denarius, and to tell him whose likeness and title it bears. This achieves several things at once. First, it shifts the spotlight to his adversaries. It gets them to produce a coin inside the temple and signals that he has none, and raises the theme of image and likeness, which will serve as a pivot point for his reply. A denarius in those days likely featured the head of Tiberius Caesar, along with the inscription, Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus, Augustus. From a Jewish point of view, then, the coin is both a graven image, prohibited within the Ten Commandments, and bite-sized bit of blasphemy. By asking for a denarius, then Jesus lures his opponents into performing an unwitting, vivid confession. What's more, the coin is a tangible emblem for the temple tax itself, in effect associating that tax with blasphemy and idolatry, and evoking yet again Zechariah's vision of a temple without money changers. Think of it this way. Jesus is the one who has just driven the money changers from the temple, sending their blasphemous coins scattering through across the temple floor, and these religious and civic leaders, lo and behold, have one in their pocket. Whose image is on that coin? The emperor's, they respond. And then comes Jesus' remarkable answer to them. Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God things that are God's. Over the years, some have interpreted this to mean that God's interests have nothing to do with money or taxes or government, but rather are focused exclusively on the spiritual realm. Indeed, the lion's susceptibility to being heard that way is part of how Jesus wiggles out of the dilemma posed by the question in the first place. On the surface, he seems to be saying, sure, pay taxes to the emperor, but that's only half of his answer, and the other half upsets the whole apple cart. In effect, Jesus says, give the emperor his due, and by the same token, do the same for God. Give the emperor the things that bear his image, and tell me, what bears God's image? Human beings, of course. Our whole lives should be given to God in the sense of participating in God's mission, listening to God's law, doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with the giver of all good things. A way of life that can only involve opposing cruelty, injustice, and arrogance in their various forms. Jesus isn't dividing the world up into financial versus spiritual, or political versus religious. He's pointing out that spiritual is a much, much bigger category, encompassing finance, politics, and virtually everything else. Our bodies, our actions, our lives, and our life together in the community of faith with each other. Is it lawful to obey the emperor or the president, or the governor, or the government in general? Sure. But by the same token, how much more lawful is it to obey the God of love, justice, and mercy? To care first of all for the least of these, the most vulnerable of our neighbors, and to treat each other with honor and respect, not cynicism and not questioning, meaning to entrap. Hearing Jesus' answer, his opponents realize they've been outplayed. They're amazed, they're speechless, and they left him and went away. So our takeaways for today. On one level, this might be considered another Houdini story. Confronting a trap, Jesus deftly slips through and turns the tables on his would-be entrappers. But there are bigger themes at work here, including Jesus' declaration of a new era in which the temple's holiness is newly accessible to all, free to financial barriers and biases. And perhaps most significantly and most salient to this divisive election season is Jesus' view of what we'd be calling religion and politics. On one hand, Jesus pointedly eschews politics in a narrow, partisan sense. He doesn't side with those among his contemporaries who sought to overthrow the Roman occupation by armed insurrection. An attempt to do just that some 40 years after Jesus' death ends up leading to the temple's devastation by the Roman army in 70 AD. Nor does he side with those who collude with the occupiers, like the Herodians. He does say it's lawful to pay taxes to the emperor, but in the same breath he sends a clear message that our highest loyalty is due to God and God's love, justice, and mercy. Jesus' opponents try to draw him into a partisan fray, but he will not go there. Instead, he casts a theological, spiritual vision that is political in a much broader and more fundamental sense. Loving our neighbors and caring for God's creation is always and already a political issue. And just as any thinking about how our beloved community should be designed is already political. But it need not be partisan. It need not be mean-spirited. It need not be infused with hypocrisy and false compliments. It need not be driven by schemes to entrap our opponents, to embarrass them, or to hurl invectives at them from afar. But if Jesus' vision isn't mean, hypocritical, and false, how is it political? It's political precisely in the sense that it involves wanting the best for our neighbors around the world and across the aisle. It's political precisely in the same sense that it starts and ends with the question of whom we belong to, whose image we bear. It's all too easy to feel as though we belong to partisan encampments, our parties, our clans, our circles of friends, Fox News, MSNBC, not to mention jobs, families, or our carefully cultivated images. But in truth, in the deepest, most important sense, we don't belong to any of those things. We belong to God. We bear God's image, and so we're called to a higher politics, above and beyond crass partisanship, that cares for each other as we care for ourselves, that strives to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God and neighbor in everything we do, including how we build up and repair and maintain our communities. The good news of the gospel is that there is a wider, deeper, and more beautiful politics, bigger than any particular party or policy or nation, and that Jesus and the Hebrew prophets before him call us to live out. And there's the challenge of this gospel for the week. Over the months, weeks and months ahead, as we make our way through this polarized election season, try making a special effort to reach out and connect with someone you disagree with in terms of partisan policies. Not to argue with them, but to see how they're doing, and let them know that you're thinking about them in this crazy and difficult and divisive time. That even though you disagree, you think of them as a neighbor, as part of our community, as a child of God, created in the image of God. For if there's anything we need during this time of cracks and chasms, it's kindness and connection. It's 100 little bridges, 1,000 little threads, 1,000,000 tiny repairs in our communal fabric that must one day soon be made whole again. So as you go into the week, remember that Jesus expects us to give to God what is due to God. It is in doing so that we look beyond our differences and love one another as Jesus loves us. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us say what we believe by the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He ascended to heaven. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Faithful God, your Spirit animates the church throughout the world and binds believers near and far into the body of Christ. Equip us for the work of faith and enlarge our hearts for the labor of love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Creating God, the sea roars, the earth rejoices, and the heavens are glad at the wonder of all you have made. Bless the work of ecologists and conservationists and all those who safeguard the riches of creation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Sovereign God, you rule and authority is over the cosmos. As you once worked through the ruler Sirius for the good of your people, accomplish your purposes through the work of elected leaders and public servants. Guide them with your wisdom and compassion. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Caring God, your arms enfold all who are lonely, oppress despairing, sick, and suffering, especially Bill, Paul, and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Caroline, Greg, Bonnie, Chip, Boyd, Tina, and all those we now name aloud on your lips or silently in our hearts. Pour out your abundant mercy on all whom this world has neglected, abandoned, and forgotten, that they may know your joy. Hear us, O God. Almighty God, all our life belongs to you. When earthly idols threaten to lead your church astray, remind us that you alone are the source of our eternal hope. Direct the work of the church treasurers, councils, and all who may manage financial matters. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Everlasting God, the saints of every age have sung your praise and shared your word. We give you thanks for their witness and pray that we may join them as citizens of your unending kingdom. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all that we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of that peace with each other. Let us pray. Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God. By your word you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts, freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God. Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God. Send your spirit of truth, O God. Rekindle your gifts within us. Renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Pray as the Lord taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace, serve the Lord.